We are here today to get into the Word and have some pizza later. Amen? So I normally, actually, I'm used to teaching youth and university students. And it's kind of my first time speaking with the grown-ups, if that makes sense. So yes, I am really nervous. And I do have to apologize also because last week Daniel talked up the fact that this would be a little bit of a sermon series break. But when I was praying about what to share with us today, I actually really feel like what the Lord wants and has for us is almost a continuation of the series. Oh, a break from Pastor Ken. We love you, Pastor Ken. It's a little bit of an aside, but it totally fits within our theme. So we've been, just a little bit of a recap, we've been reading from John 15, where Jesus, where it talks about Jesus being the true vine, that we are the branches of that vine and we're encouraged to remain in him and he remains in us, where the Lord's very life source flows and in and through us. It joins us all together. It talks about how we've been chosen, given a new life and purpose of fruitfulness, love, peace and joy. Amen. So let's just read it quickly. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's jump to 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So today, I'd actually like to go a little deeper in the concept of pruning. So there it is in verse 2. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and then he prunes branches that do bear fruit in order to be more fruitful. So today I want to talk about what is pruning, what it can look like in our lives, what does it feel like, why is it necessary, and just share a little bit of my story. Is that okay? Can I pray? Father God, thank you for your grace and mercy toward us, for your passionate and relentless love which overwhelms, fills us up, and surrounds us like a shield. I ask that you would encourage us this morning, that we may come away with a deeper revelation of who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as I mentioned, I'd like to talk about this concept of pruning and really finding purpose in the pruning. Finding purpose in the pruning and this idea of God being a good gardener. So I don't know about you, but I love the richness and the many layers that the Word of God has. And what I found really interesting is the many layers even in this concept of the garden and gardening and the analogy that's woven in and out throughout the Bible. So yes, we are branches grafted in the vine, but we're also a tree with leaves and fruit and flowers. We're one plant within a magnificent garden, and yet seeds of faith are planted in the gardens of our hearts, and that's where our relationship with God flourishes. A tree, a vine, a garden, bearing fruit, growing into mighty oaks of righteousness, a shelter for birds to nest, and creatures to find rest and shade. All these different word pictures and analogies, but they all essentially paint the picture of God's purpose for our lives, to flourish, to thrive, and be fruitful. So that's where we left off last week. So this is a little bit blurry, but this is a picture of God's desire for you, that you would prosper, body, mind, spirit, and soul. You would be vibrant, lush, green, growing and healthy. As opposed to this. Do you like my pictures, guys? Dry, desolate, barren. But if God wants me to have this, to flourish and have abundance, you know, growing in love, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, but he cuts and he prunes, doesn't cutting equal pain? You know that it's like, imagine cutting off an arm or a leg, right? That hurts. I'm such a wuss over a little paper cut. And God wants to cut off whole branches, whole limbs on purpose. Have you ever thought like that? Questioned why? That's what was definitely going through my mind the first time I experienced the Lord's pruning in my life. But I'd like us to get a little perspective today. Let's get some insight into the principles of pruning, why we would do it, and get the gardener's perspective. I've got a little video for us, if we can press play, Sharon. So I ripped it off YouTube.
We've all heard that pruning is important, and in fact it is. Yet more often than not, that fear of making a mistake, it paralyzes us into doing nothing at all. Well, today I'm going to fix that. I'm going to show you 5 simple tips to have you pruning like a pro in no time. We need to prune for several reasons. To control size or shape, to remove dead or diseased branches or limbs, to improve structure, and the one that makes believers out of all of us, to stimulate new growth or flowering. Now, cutting back or pruning to stimulate new growth, that is so counterintuitive. But once you understand the science behind it, it's a game changer. Take this oak leaf hydrangea, for example. Now this tip bud is called the terminal bud, and within the bud, there's a growth suppression hormone called auxin. And as long as that hormone is there, it's signaling these side buds to remain dormant. But once I make the cut, the suppression hormone is gone. In response, these former dormant buds begin to grow rapidly, and for every one cut, I get 2 branches. And now that you know a little science behind the cut, here are a few more tips to make you a pruning ninja in no time. First, timing is everything. Know that there are better times of the year to prune than others. Late winter or early spring is generally the best time to prune, just prior to new growth starting to develop. Although pruning does stimulate new growth, that doesn't apply during dormancy, since dormancy trumps the rest. The next best time is early to midsummer, after full leaf expansion. But much of a plant's stored energy has gone into producing all that new growth in spring. If you cut this new growth off, you've wasted the energy. Now the plant is stimulated to put on new growth, which can be stressful to the plant in summer when conditions are likely to be dry and hot and reserves are at a premium. And lastly, early to mid-fall is the least favorable time to prune. Pruning then can signal the plant to produce new growth just as it's sending nutrients and energy into reserves for the cold months ahead. Not only can valuable reserves be diverted back into new growth can be damaged or killed by colder temperatures, creating access points for overwintering pests and diseases. Next, know the rule of thumb for proper timing on when to prune certain flowering plants. Some bloom on current season's growth, so they should be pruned in late winter because they'll bloom in the same year. One of the best examples of that is butterfly bush, but some other common examples are abelia, clethora, spirea, which is this, and some examples of hydrangea, including Annabelle. Other shrubs produce flowers on old growth or wood that was produced in the previous year. If you were to prune them in late winter, you'd be cutting off all the flower buds. Not a good idea. The best time to prune those type of plants is usually around midsummer, right after they bloom and before they've had a chance to set new buds. Some common examples of these kind of plants include azalea and rhododendron, which are these, forsythia, hollies, and some types of hydrangea, including mophead and oak leaf. And know where to make the cut. For plants with a single bud below the area you want to cut, find a place on the branch about a half an inch above an outward-facing bud, and then make the cut at an angle with the high point facing out also. For stems and branches with buds located in pairs, also known as opposite, make the cut about a half an inch above the bud set and straight across. Finally, know the limits on how much to cut. A good rule of thumb is to take no more than a third of the total length of the branch, measuring from the tip back. Now, of course, there are exceptions to every rule, and some plants can handle severe pruning, but you can't go wrong by sticking to the rule of one-third. So there's no reason to fear pruning. Once you convince yourself that in almost every case pruning is a really good thing, then it's just a matter of getting started. And the more you do it, the more confidence you get. Next thing you know, you're pruning like a pro.
Thanks, Joe Lampel from Milo Granite Fertilizers. There is definitely an art and a science to pruning. But I like what he said right at the beginning. He said, it seems counterintuitive, but there is purpose to the pruning. There's all these other YouTube videos out there. There's heaps of books and magazines and, all teaching people how to grow, how to be a good gardener, how to get the most out of their gardens. There's all these competitions about, who can grow the best roses and that sort of thing. And pumpkins, even. I saw some pictures about giant pumpkins. And, let's go to my verse first. If like in Matthew 7:11, let's read it. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And if earthly gardeners know how to prune and cultivate earthly plants and trees, and how much more wisdom, love, and care does our Heavenly Father take in cultivating us? I definitely take comfort in knowing that it's not a haphazard, random process done out of spite or to punish me. And as we've learned from the video in John 15, a lot of pruning is for our benefit. It removes diseased and dying branches. It's to maintain size and shape, improve structure and strength, encourage new growth, and encourage greater fruitfulness. But what also struck me when watching that video is really how knowledgeable the guy was about the different plant species and what to do when and that sort of thing. How each tree and bush almost required different pruning techniques and approaches. He knew when to cut, where to cut, the difference of the seasons and how much to cut and why. And that encourages me to know that our Heavenly Father, the ultimate good gardener, knows exactly what we need to get the best results in us. And we're very different from each other. He knows what I'll need versus what you will need, and precisely cuts away what he knows that will bring about your optimal fruitfulness. But what does that look like? What can pruning look like in our lives? If he wants to strengthen, shape, and redirect us, that sounds awesome. Really, what God does is those dead and dying branches in our lives, that they're often false beliefs and attitudes, toxic thoughts that don't line up with God's heart for your life. They're character traits that no longer line up with our identity in Christ. He may cut off relationships or stop you in a certain career path to redirect you to something far better over there. He may take away opportunities or certain options that you think are good, but really it's all so that we can bear even more fruit later. Every cut is taken with great care and great precision. He knows what he's doing. He does it out of love. And so that your latter days will definitely be greater than your former. I know for me, the first time that I recognized God pruning something out of my life, I was still quite a new Christian. I had quite a supernatural conversion. I really felt the power and the presence of God. And that really, I needed that as a baby Christian, to know that God is real and that he loved me. And so from the very beginning, I was very sensitive to the presence of God. In every church service, I'd just be crying and weeping. Not because I was sad, but because of the beauty of the holiness of God. And I would also shiver in the Holy Spirit. I wasn't cold, but it was just the way the Holy Spirit made me know that he was with me, if that makes sense. You know, and the word of God came alive for me, and I really grew in God. But after a while, God really started to wean me off that, almost that reliance on the signs and that the spiritual, supernatural manifestations. And at first I was confused and upset. Like, suddenly, how come I'm not shivering anymore? Is God not with me anymore? How come I'm not crying uncontrollably, which I thought was great because it would always mess up my makeup? But, you know, I was wondering if I did something wrong, or was God punishing me for something? But he graciously took me to John 15 and gave me a revelation of what he was doing and why. And because I had grown in my faith and my relationship with him, I didn't need those supernatural displays anymore. And he was pruning that reliance out of my life so I actually could be even more fruitful. He reminded me that he had never left me or forsaken me, that he is for me and not against me, that he works all things together for my good. And it's all to help me grow into my calling and purpose. He gave me perspective in my pruning. He is such a good gardener, guys. Such a good gardener. Good in skill and precision, but also good in his intentions and love for you. And if you're a Christian here today, when you chose to follow Christ, he cut you off from a dead and dying tree. It was only a matter of time before it was too late for you. But he cleaned you up and he grafted you into a better vine, into himself, the vine of life. And he's tended to you, given you sunshine and water. He's grafted you into a vine with one another so that you will find family and belonging. He's given you every good thing you've ever needed so you could grow and flourish. But yeah, it's still a choice. It's a choice whether we remain in him, whether we remain in the vine and allow him to prune us, to cultivate our lives, our character, our hearts. Unfortunately, there are too many Christians out there who are maybe not as fruitful as what the Lord would want for them. They may have stunted their own growth because they didn't allow God to cultivate their lives as he would want. And yeah, sometimes pruning can hurt, and it might not make sense at times, but having the right perspective in the pruning, the right perspective about the purpose of the pruning, and the intentions of the God who's doing the pruning can just help. Amen? Amen. Can we stand? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your precise and purposeful pruning in our lives. You do it with such loving care so that we would be fruitful and flourish. You are such a good Father, such a good gardener, such a good God. We love you, and we choose to stay connected to you. We choose to stay connected to each other. We submit to your purposes in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.